Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, November 16, 2022. This is the Bob Seska interview on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 666, the number of the beast of the Biden-Harris administration, 720 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Instagram, the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com, and my link tree is in the description. It is Cliff Schechter Day on the Big Wednesday Show. In case you're just joining us, I've known Cliff for, I don't know, something like 15 years maybe. We both met when we were bloggers at the old Huffington Post. But these days, Cliff is a political consultant and podcaster with his own YouTube channel, youtube.com/C Schechter. Link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. Today, we're going to talk about Trump's announcement last night, the continued impact of the midterms, Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, and a whole lot more. It's always fun as hell whenever Cliff stops by, so get ready. Meantime, please help support this show by subscribing to our bonus content at BobSeskaShow.com. Okay, here's me and Cliff.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Are you like me? Do you have an election year hangover right about now? I mean, I'm ready for some shore leave. I'm ready to take a couple of weeks
too,
off of the holidays.
And yet I can't because, you know, I'm doing some stuff on the Warnock race. So it's like I was ready for it. It was supposed to be over. And it's like when you're supposed to have an exam and then, you know, they tell you they moved it back 3 weeks. You're like, fuck.
Are you seriously working on the Warnock campaign? Are you doing messaging for them or something?
I mean, I'm helping them. I'm using my large email list to help them raise money. So,
wow, that's great. So just as an outside
observer, outside, they're not officially a client. In other words, I had some folks that were officially clients that paid us money to get them to help them build their email list. Tim Ryan was a client. Evan McMullen was a client. Gretchen Whitmer was a client.
Wow.
Janet Mills, the governor of Vermont, was a client. You know, there are a bunch like that that were actual clients. And then there's people that we just choose who we like. And, you know, we fundraise and we take a chunk of it. So
here's my thing with Warnock. I have a lot of confidence in his ability to win this runoff. And one of the reasons is he's run like 4 different campaigns in the last few years. I mean, between 2020, where he ran initially and then had to run in a runoff, and then this year where he had to run again and then another runoff. That's like 4 elections that he's had to go through in the last 2 years. So if anyone has experience in terms of winning elections, it'd be Raphael Warnock, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day and I meant to like tweet something out and forgot. And then to be like, this guy pulls this off as I fully expect he will.
Yeah.
My God. It's like, I mean, as you just said, 4 elections in 2 years. I mean, right. The dude should be given like a medal. He should get a Purple Heart or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I mean, the crap he's been through, the attacks levels at him and, you know, the garbage. And I mean, you know, look, I mean, I feel very good about it because it's simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kemp, as awful as he was, is good at PR,
yeah.
Is good at presenting himself to people that don't pay close attention, like your moderate white guy who seems reasonable, who like is a guy you meet in your, you know, at the cubicle next to you or you meet at your office. And, you know, I mean, he's good at that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so unless you know, like we do, how awful he is, you know, and I think it was the most helpful thing to him in the world to have Trump attack him.
Yeah,
because I think that MAGA segment in Georgia still was willing to vote for him because the alternative was oh my God, Stacey Abrams, and so he got all that. But some of the folks who clearly went, there was clearly a good contingent of Warnock Kemp voters,
mm-hmm.
that people went to, you know, that people who are just like I can't vote for Herschel Walker. I mean, moderate Republicans, independents, people like that, and. And you can see it in not just sort of crossover voting, but in the end, Kemp got 210,000 more votes than Herschel Walker did.
Wow.
That's insane. I mean, Georgia is not Texas. It's a relatively big state,
yeah.
As United States states go. I don't know if it's like the 9th or 10th or I don't know, you know, biggest state. I mean, but what does it have? 8 million people or something like that? 7 million? It doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't
just about.
Have like, it's not California.
Right.
You know, and to have that, to have a 210,000 vote difference, you know, so what that's telling me is that there are people that showed up for Brian Kemp who still couldn't get themselves, bring themselves to vote for Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
And you have to believe that some of the people that did show up to vote for Herschel Walker showed up and just kind of held their nose and pulled the lever. They did it, A, because they're already there for Brian Kemp, you know, or B, they did it because they had a chance at a majority.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that guy's gross, and I've heard all this awful stuff about him. I'm a Republican who wants a Senate majority. Now none of that's on the table anymore.
Jesus.
Like, there is no Senate majority on the table. This election, to me, would have worried me a lot more if this was the 50th seat for, you know, and if by winning this, they'd have a majority,
mm-hmm.
then they could ramp up all of that and turn out all their folks and say, this is your majority, but they can't now.
Did you notice last night that Trump actually mentioned and threw his support behind Herschel Walker during his announcement and at the same time referred to Herschel Walker as a flabbiest human being? Which I don't know what the hell that means. Flabbiest.
You know, I really enjoy, I mean, a guy that like told people to inject bleach and shove an ultraviolet light up their arses and to like, you know, who was told not to and then stared directly at a freaking eclipse.
Yeah.
You know, is a guy who's making fun of Biden and trying to turn Biden into a guy who has gaffes and is old. And it's like, are you kidding me? Grandpa and poopy pants who can't walk down, at West Point has to be helped down a ramp.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, who I imagine like I imagine Donald Trump like the end scene of Dodgeball.
Right.
You know, where White Goodman is sitting there in this pile of chicken bones. Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Ben Stiller, uh-huh. He's there at the end, and he's gotten all huge again. He's just munching on like big chicken bones, and blah, blah. I mean, you know, like a Jabba-esque character. That's
yeah.
I mean, that this guy would make fun of anybody else for whether it be cognitive abilities, in, you know, of any sort, intelligence of any sort, physical fitness of any sort is so laughable. But I mean, you know, if you don't mind my continuing quickly, my big takeaway, and I just did a video on this on my YouTube channel,
yeah.
A short. So because it just is so easy. Like, think about Donald Trump's speech last night. First of all, so he gets up. He's just boring as all hell. Talking
yeah.
about low energy jab, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's just he's just jabbering on, you know, all the sort of the and by the way, I didn't even watch you know, I watched some highlights today and I was on Twitter. It's funny. I was predicting what I thought he would say. And I knew it because like his obsessions never change. It's going to be me strong, you weak, yeah. You know, like I'm the guy everybody looks up to and has adulation for. And you're the guy that everybody's laughing at. That's his, always been his big obsession because secretly he knows everybody's always laughing at him. Mm-hmm. And thinks he's pathetic and that he's not anything close to what he pretends to be. But so his speech was awful and stupid and like it didn't accomplish anything. But to me, my three favorite things are one, Ivanka didn't even show up, which was hilarious.
Yeah, I know. I saw.
I mean, his sister wife was not there. Fox News cut away in the middle because it was so bad. Mm. Even Fox News was like, we can't make our people watch this. They're going to turn Fox News off, you know? And these are people that enjoy watching Sean Hannity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they still can't. And then three, the best of all of them, if you saw some of that ABC News footage, like these are his hardcore people, right? These are people paying God knows how much money they're wasting to be at the Bedbug Largo, right? And they're sitting in this gross gauche dining hall with its garbagey food and everything, listening to this guy. And a bunch of them got up and wanted to leave and security wouldn't let them leave.
That's amazing. I love that. Holy shit. It was like a lock-in. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody should go check it out because, like, they were locked in. It was like there's a fire and, you know, you're like, you can't get out. You're trying to run away from a fire. Or, again, I'm sorry. I'm big with the movie and the musical references because I love all that stuff. But did you ever see the movie PCU?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Remember when they put that song, was it called like a Good Night something or whatever that awful song was, they put on at the faculty and an alumni meeting and they play it over and over again. They lock it in the key so that they can't turn this song off. And then they steal the booze and lock all the doors and windows. So these people are stuck in there with this horrible song playing over and over. They're like breaking windows and stuff to get out.
Yeah.
That was the way I imagined like the people.
Right. It's Steve, like, Stephen Miller on the other side of the double doors, put a broom handle between the doorknobs so you can't
exactly
push the door open. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. He let his fangs hang down on the front that suck the blood of anybody. I mean, honestly, like you could see in this ABC video like if people are trying to leave and are being forced to go and sit back down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, please clap.
Because, I mean, you know, part of the thing was it was boring as fuck. I mean, it was like he was Ambien sleepwalking last night.
It was awful. I mean, they're like the whole thing was awful. I mean, it was, you know, like, and again, I forced myself this morning to watch some of, I guess, what you'd call highlights, lowlights, you know, and like, you know, it all showed the same thing. I mean, he just he doesn't have it anymore. And the thing is, he internally, you know, doesn't want to admit this stuff, but like he of course is the core of him. He's so this deeply wounded, still like 12-year-old little boy who never grew up and looks at the world through that prism. And he was so roundly in every way humanly possible rejected last week. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I read something, I think, was it 9% or something of his candidates won? Like his candidates were absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
So start with that. Joe Biden bested him in a midterm when Joe Biden was the president. And you know, as dumb as Trump is, I think his people can explain things to him like, oh, you know, this is one of five midterms in the last, you know, 90 years where the president, you know, has gained like we did in the Senate and whatever. The last time anybody picked up state house chambers, you know, when their party had the president. The presidency was FDR in 1934.
Yeah.
We picked up both chambers in Michigan. So we're now with the governor going to have a trifecta and be able to govern. We picked up both chambers in Minnesota. So with the governor there, we're going to have the trifecta in
Michigan.
We did. Michigan is a big one because that's obviously still a swing state. Minnesota isn't quite. It's, you know, like, but it's not, you know, it's not a 25-point blue state. It's a blue state or something. It's still, you know, close enough that we haven't always been able to get the numbers there to, you know, and now we're going to have an opportunity like we did in 2017, you know, once when we finally in Virginia after all these years had the trifecta and we just passed one amazing bill after another. It was like background checks and, you know, birth control and like gay rights. And like, we just like the whole thing there, climate change and $15 or something of that nature, minimum wage. And I mean, we're going to have all these opportunities in these two key Midwest swing states. And then we also picked up the state house in Pennsylvania while holding the governorship. So the only question is how, I don't know how bad the Senate is, how many Republican senators we need to get anything done, but there may be the opportunity to really govern there. So, I mean, this was, so Trump, I mean, he's an idiot, but he understands sort of very basic things like, I win, I lose. You know, he's like a freaking caveman. And I'm basically, the losses were enormous, historic, you know, and then on top to Biden. And then on top of all of that, even worse, DeSantis has this huge win, his main rival in Florida, right? Where he, in his backyard, where he is right now, which, and he considers that to be an act of insolence and anybody dare challenge him. And then on top of that, and doesn't sort of bow the knee, won't say that he's not running for president and all that. And that's, you know, to the dictator Trump, that's insolence. And then the media starts talking up other alternatives too, like Glenn Youngkin, to get, you know, where he like freaks out and makes that ridiculous racist joke. I mean,
oh, God,
moron. Youngkin sounds like a Chinese name. I mean, are you
just driving away more independent voters every time something like that happens? Like, for example, in the new Congress, in the new House, every time they have another hearing, another sort of circus sideshow hearing, they're going to drive like 1-3% of independents over to vote for Democrats in 24. That's, I mean, that's right. the beneficial side effect of all of that.
No, absolutely. I'm sorry. I mean, I mean, that's exactly right. And I guess just finishing that thought, which is that had to all be in his little furry brain, you know, when he's up there speaking. And I have a feeling that's why he had no energy and why it all felt like it was just like him forcing himself to do this, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because it seemed to me as if that was a guy who was running for president because he has to, not because he wants to. That's why I believe he was sleepwalking through that. That's why I think he just seemed like, ah, shit, I really don't want to be here. Like a kid who wakes up one morning, doesn't want to go to school, and his mom makes him go to school. He's like, oh, mom, do I really got to run for president? Ah, crap. Yep. But, and he sees it as a necessity. Like, this is one of the only ways I can get out of having to go to prison. I've got to use this. I've got to play this card. Otherwise, if I don't, I'm putting myself at further risk of prison. And that's how he's seeing this.
Yeah, the only things, the only stuff that's going on here, you know, are you know, let's call them the two P's, profits and prison.
Right.
You know, he's trying to stay out of prison, and in true Trumpian fashion, he's trying to you know, put as much money in his pocket as he can while, you know, while he's able to do it. I don't even think in the end he ends up running. Either because he's indicted and other stuff, or because he, you know, he decides that he doesn't want to give up certain things and can make more money, you know, just on the grievance thing. Right. And if he does that, we all win, because this grievance thing at this point would have to be against whoever the Republican is who's nominated. Mm-hmm. And I could honestly see him, and I mean, this isn't just wishful thinking, like seriously, I could see him splitting the Republican Party and just going, straight at DeSantis or Youngkin or whichever goofball they pick, because, you know, if he, that's the way he locks in that whatever it ends up being, 10%, 5% hardcore sort of base of his that keeps buying all of his garbagey merchandise and showing up to his stupid rallies and putting money in his pocket.
Yeah.
Signing up for his idiotic apps that fail and all the rest, is he needs to have an enemy. And if he's not, if he's the nominee, the Democrats can be the enemy. But if he's not, you know, and I think he's going to start looking soon at, look, for the first time, there are real cracks in that wall. People don't like a loser. These people are all cynical, evil bastards. So don't think I'm giving them any credit. They are fine with Trump when things were going great. But after how badly things went last week and after how big DeSantis won, I mean, I find it laughable. You know, I would have worried about Carrie Lake. And I'm so glad that people in Arizona saw through it all, saw through the 18 different filters you have to see through. but you really have to train your eyes very closely on her. Yeah. But they, you know, in the end, they like, you know, they she's somebody who is very well TV trained you know, and comes across, you know, can come across if she wants as sane on TV and, you know, doesn't choose to a lot of the time, but has a good control of that medium. DeSantis is awful. Like, yeah. We thought Trump was boring last night. Mm-hmm. That's DeSantis on a good day. There's no charisma. He's always got this, you know, he's got, I mean, you know, if we call it, there's resting bitch face. This guy's got resting dick face. I mean,
right,
he's just,
right.
He just looks like he's just an angry dick all the time. And I don't see him. I mean, I don't see him going anywhere. And then you start getting into some of the really kind of specific things he's done, you know, that are fascistic, if we're being honest. You know, arresting that researcher that was doing the COVID numbers and the firing of that prosecutor who was just trying to follow the law on what to do about the new abortion rules. I mean, you know, the stepping into schools, the redistricting by his own hand, which a lot of people would argue was overstepping his constitutional bounds and he had mm-hmm. no right to do. I mean, he's, you know, he's a dictator. He's a little mini dictator too.
I think we know, even despite DeSantis's flaws, I think this is conventional wisdom now, especially among big money Republican donors, that DeSantis is the first real Republican challenger to Donald Trump. That's what differentiates. I mean, there are other, I think, more minor things. But one of the things that differentiates 2024 from 2015 and 2016 is that there was no real alternative to Donald Trump going into those primaries.
Right.
I mean, did anyone realistically believe that Marco Rubio or Lindsey Graham or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz would be president? No fucking way. It was Trump or it was, you know, another lost election. I think that's how he was perceived back then. I compared it on my show yesterday to like a 65-year-old guy divorcing his, you know, 45-year-old wife and going with a 25-year-old. I mean, and DeSantis being the 25-year-old. They found new blood. They found a younger, fresher face to apply all of their rank awfulness to.
Right.
And
DeSantis isn't as self-sabotaging either.
Right.
I mean, he is to a certain degree. He definitely has this vengeance thing in him.
Yeah.
And it's not going to play as well if he starts, you know, one thing to go after the Tampa Bay Rays or Disney, you know, in Florida. If he starts nationally going after companies, I think he's going to, you know, that employ gazillions of people, he's going to find himself in a lot of trouble. And he seems to have a trouble controlling himself with his little petty vengeance. I mean, as much as even to the point of yelling at those kids for wearing masks, which, by the way, I would be showing that everywhere, as an ad against him. But I mean, that's a part he can't control. But the other stuff, the tweeting dumb stuff and the idiotic attacks on other, you know, members of the party and whatever, he's not the loose cannon idiot that Trump is. And I think they obviously all see that. You know, they don't have a problem with the fascism.
Yeah.
They have a problem with the guy doing such stupid things that he's self-destructive.
Yeah.
You know, and the irony of everything that's happened is like these guys would have been so much better off with a bare Hillary win in 2016, where she won and didn't have enough control of anything to do anything. And Trump would have sat out there screaming and yelling at her and making it more difficult and pressuring Republicans from the outside.
Investigations
They would have investigated and they would have destroyed us in 2018. And I mean, they already had majorities. Who knows how big those majorities would have been, and probably won in 2020.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they did, you know, in some ways, like, that's why I've done my best to like mock and laugh at Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell is this pathetic husk of like what's supposed to be a human being. And all that matters in his pathetic life is being Senate Majority Leader. That's it.
Yeah.
This guy wakes up in the morning and thinks about it, goes to bed at night. He clearly needs a hobby. He hasn't had one ever. You know, he's in a obviously pretty well understood arranged marriage. There's about as much love there as there is between like me and a post-it note sitting on my desk in front of me here. And like, that's all he lives for. And yet he sabotaged himself. Mm-hmm. He put those judges there that overturned Roe, and he protected Trump, when he wouldn't get up with Obama in 2016, when Obama asked him to make a joint announcement about Russians getting jumping into our elections. And he also wouldn't go through with kicking him out when he had a chance to impeach him. And those two decisions, it's the Roe decision in the end, you know, largely, I mean, some other stuff, and the candidates that Trump picked, that were two of the biggest reasons why he is now, he is not Senate Majority Leader now.
Yeah.
And people aren't talking about it, but there is an interesting comment he made, you know, beforehand, the election, some point that he would think of retiring if he didn't win back the majority this time. So I don't know if he'll live up to that. I certainly would love it to never have to look upon that, pile of jelly known as a face again. But
okay, as I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, we lost a record number of Patreon members due to declined payments at the end of October. What happens is when a member's payment information is declined, Patreon attempts to correct the error, but if they can't, the member is removed from the page. And this time we lost a few dozen members. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Set us back like, I don't know, 6 months or so. Suffice to say, we need all hands on deck to make up for the several dozen lost patrons. If you're not a subscriber already, go right now to BobSuskaShow.com. Sign up for as little as $1 a month. You're going to be supporting this completely independent podcast. And for $5 subscribers and higher, we have all kinds of bonus content exclusively for our Patreon members, the Shadow Docket bonus shows, the after party on Fridays with Kimberly Johnson. Again, that's BobSuskaShow.com, and we thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
Yeah, I mean, when the dust settles, who ultimately becomes the scapegoat for the 2022 midterms? Is it Mitch McConnell? Is it Kevin McCarthy? I don't think it's going to be McCarthy. Is it going to be Donald Trump? I mean, it seems like it's going to be Donald Trump, especially based on the reviews of his speech last night from people who are normally his allies. Like that racist shitbag Nick Fuentes said, that was one of the worst things I've seen in my entire life about the announcement last night. This was awful. It's hard to imagine how it could have been worse. That's a guy who loves Donald Trump. I mean, in the National Review's headline, just the word in all caps, no, period. I thought was also revealing too. So who becomes the scapegoat for the midterms if it's not
Donald
Trump?
Well, I mean, that is interesting because right now there's numerous ones. I mean, it speaks to all the fissures in the party right now, that all the infighting that's going on, you know. Republicans truly, honestly, right now are in as much disarray as you could be in.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, you know, it'll still be Democrats in disarray, as we all know.
Right.
They can't get themselves to write Republicans in disarray. I mean, they're all fighting amongst themselves. There's people speaking out that should just keep their mouths shut. You've got Supreme Court justices like Alito who can't shut up either and stop stepping in it. Uh-huh. Like, it just seems like there's so many loose cannons right now. And I mean, you saw it in the results yesterday of the McCarthy vote. I mean, it's hilarious how they're trying to turn a victory. Well, look, he won overwhelmingly. He didn't get 31 votes. Wow. You know, assuming they end up with the House, okay, they are going to end up with the House at probably at most by 2 to 3 votes, which means he will have no control over anything. But I don't think it'll even matter, because I don't think he's going to be Speaker if that happens. You know, I mean, he like Andy Biggs ran against him just to prove that any moron, because that's Andy Biggs, and, you know, any insurrectionist moron could run against him and get enough votes to show him that he didn't have the votes to win. And I've been a big sort of booster of the fact that I looked around and, you know, finding Republican moderates these days, very hard to find. But there's a few of them in the House. Like, I cross-checked those votes where, like, it's like, you know, 8 people voted for this, 12 people voted for that. There's one from Latina from the Miami area. His name is Salazar. She's a moderate. I mean, she's a moderate Republican as you can get. She voted, you know, against. She was against getting rid of Obamacare. She voted in favor of protecting birth control. She voted for universal background checks. I think the Democrats should pull something out and be like, look, you know, there's probably about 20 to 30 votes there, at least for you. Yeah. On the Republican side, maybe at least 10, and we'll provide the balance of the rest and make somebody who's a moderate Republican who might want to actually govern House Speaker, you know, I mean, and go into it with some demands. You know, that she promises she's going to put like a half dozen bills on the floor, put background checks on the floor, put a climate change bill on the floor, you know, things of that nature that we want, an immigration reform bill on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, and they do that stuff like, you know, but we'll see what happens. But that would be what I would what I would do if I were them, if and when it's determined, you know, if Democrats don't have the votes. Obviously, if Democrats have the votes, it's not a big deal. But I will say the one more word I'll say is it sends you a signal that there's been talking going on when the guy who's from the one swing seat in Nebraska, Don Bacon, Republican, who is, you know, by today's standards, I'd call him sort of center right or maybe conservative. I mean, you know, he would have been an arch conservative 2 decades ago, but now he's kind of one of the sort of 20 to 30 more reasonable ones. And he, you know, he said, oh, I'm a vote for Kevin McCarthy. But he very quickly then said, he's like, if enough in this caucus deny Kevin McCarthy, he's like, I'm ready to talk to Democrats about a power sharing arrangement.
Interesting. Zay, that was going to be my next question for you, because I like the scenario you're talking about with regard to Republicans flipping over. What did you say? 10 to 20 Republicans flipping and voting with the Democrats on certain things. But
yep.
If I were Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer right about now, I would be maybe lobbying some moderate Republicans, insofar as there are any moderate Republicans, maybe some of those 10 to 20 you mentioned, to actually switch parties and become independents and maybe even caucus with the Democrats. I mean,
well,
I don't know. I mean, that might be, I might be overreaching with that concept, but it seems like that could be a possibility when you have a very narrowly divided House, right?
Well, look, we've seen it before. I mean, it can't be an impossibility, because Jim Jeffords did exactly that.
Yeah, and Arlen Specter
years ago.
Yeah, Arlen Specter in 2009. Remember?
Right. Yeah. And in Jeffords' case, I think Specter actually joined the Democratic Party. And Specter, in Jeffords' case, he became an independent and caucused with the Democrats. You know, and they did that. I mean, the thing is that I think Nancy Pelosi, if they pulled an agreement like that and they wanted a Democratic. Instead of saying we'll come together, we're going to make demands on what some votes are, and we'll support an actual moderate Republican. I mean, this one, Salazar, at least as far as her record that I saw, is legitimately a moderate Republican. I mean, again, voted for birth control, voted for gun control measures, voted to protect Obamacare. But, you know, like, she's on all those lists where you see like only 20 voted for this and only 8 voted for this and only 11 voted for that. She's on all those lists. You know, and so either if it's not going to be someone like that, and, you know, you could probably get that done also because she's Latina and we'd be making history, you know, and that kind of thing. If you're not going to do that, if you're going to try to keep it with Democrats, it can't be Pelosi.
Yeah.
I mean, because she's been too demonized and too whatever. And we all know it's a caricature, but it doesn't matter. Perception's reality. And no Republican is going to vote for Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. So if we were to go to them and say, will you support a Democrat? Then we would have to be willing to offer up like whatever, you know, we consider to be a reasonable, one of our more moderate Democrats who is somebody who you know, we don't, it doesn't agree with the base on everything, but at least it's somebody we know is going to put forward good stuff and govern. Who that is, you know, I don't know at this point. I'd have to take a list and look and think about it like I did with the Republicans the other day. But I'm sure there's a couple people that would fit into that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, ultimately, I don't think they need to flip parties to be beneficial. I mean, certainly because of the narrow majority that Kevin McCarthy has, there are lots of potential Manchin cinema sort of situations, but applying to the House side to Kevin McCarthy.
What, I'll say quickly, what I'd want, though, is a good moderate, right? Like there are moderates that I do, you know, people I disagree with on some things, but they are good people who are trying to govern. And like, I don't want a drama queen or a dress up queen or a big pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Manchin and Sinema are not moderates. They're just big fucking pains in the ass who are full of themselves. There's a good half dozen actual moderates in the, if we're talking about the Senate caucus, right? John Tester is a moderate.
Yeah.
Right. From Montana. Do you ever hear him making noise about shit? No.
Yeah. The last time I heard him make a noise was about Ronnie Jackson. Tester was front and center on Ronnie Jackson, but that's about it recently.
You know whose side he's on. I mean, here, another one. We just reelected one. Mark Kelly. Is an actual moderate by his record.
Mm-hmm.
Who disagrees with us on some things, but is a really good person. Right. Doug Jones, who was from the most impossible of impossible places, never turned into Manchin or Sinema.
Right.
You know, he's no longer there, so we can't. But I'm saying there's a bunch of folks actually there who are like that. Maggie Hassan is another one who just won re-election, is more moderate. You know, that's the Senate. And obviously the Senate, there's only 100. It's easier to know, or only 50. It's easier to know who they are. And, you know, I don't know every House member. What I'm saying is you want a House member in the mold of a John Tester, not the one in the mold of a Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
Or then it's just going to be drama central. You know, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, and we won't get anything done. Pick somebody who's an actual moderate who Republicans could get behind in some kind of power sharing agreement, the 10 or 15 or whatever you end up needing, and accept that, like, that's the deal. And that's how you're going to govern.
And the, you know, the good news, I think one of the good news items to come out of what is inevitably going to be a Republican House. I don't know. Have the networks called that yet as far as control of the House? I don't know that they have. I haven't seen anything along those lines, but I'm assuming.
No, the last I saw is they updated their, you know, their thing, and they had 219 Republican, 216 Democrat.
Well, but regardless, I mean, let's assume a Republican House, as we've been doing, the fear of impeachment palooza, I think, is completely off the table. They're not going to impeach Joe Biden. They don't have the votes to do it.
They won't.
They're going to try. I mean, there's going to be some, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene / Jim Jordan led investigation, inquest into Hunter Biden or whatever. And they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden over this, but they're never going to make it past a floor vote because they just, it's not there. I mean, all you got to do is lose whatever it is, 2-3 moderate Republicans who want to win independence in 24. So they're going to vote against any sort of articles of impeachment, especially one that comes out of a circus sideshow, as I've been saying. So that's great news in all of this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's just no, there's no world in which I see that happening.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I am not one to talk about like the wonderful moderates and how great the Republican Party is. The Republican Party is an absolute shit show filled with, you know, lunatics and QAnon supporters and you know, white nationalists and just a whole lot of idiots. But for some reason, there are about 10, 15, 20, you know, semi-normal people who have stuck around. And I'm just saying, I don't have to like them or love them or whatever, but as just as a political sort of practitioner and doing strategy, these are people who are not going to vote to impeach Joe Biden because he sneezed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're not going to vote to impeach to impeach. They're not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they don't have the votes for that.
But we will see all of the awful hearings and, you know, committee inquests. That's for sure.
Yes.
That's really all the House will be able to do with a Republican majority, a narrow Republican majority. They're not going to be able to pass really much of anything. And so it's going to be.
I mean, not going to pass anything at all. I mean, I guess you could say they could pass. They may pass a few things in the House, but nothing's going through the Senate and the presidency if it's stupid. So, I mean, like, you know, and I don't I don't see, because they're the people there now that are running the show, whether they have the titles or not, are the demagogues, mm-hmm. are the drama queens, are the ones that you know send out performative tweets and say stupid things. It's the Jim Jordans and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the people like that. And so there's simply no way. They're not there to legislate. That's not what they're there for. They're not there to be actual members of Congress. They're there to demagogue and get press attention and love from the right wing base. So, I mean, there's no way if the dude has a 3-vote majority, he's holding that 3-vote majority on anything. You know what I mean? He's gonna have to be willing to lose, you know, they have to be willing to lose 50 Republicans on the furthest outer precincts of Crazy Town. Yeah, and to get Democrats to vote with the, you know, whatever sanity still exists with the other ones. I mean, it's the only way it's gonna happen. So, I mean, I guess we'll see.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was done.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, one of my concerns, and I apologize for the anxiety ahead of time here, is that they're going to form their own January 6th committee, or a committee to investigate the previous January 6th committee. I guess it's all going to be rolled into one. And my concern with that is they're going to start to chip away at the public perception of what happened during that insurrection. You know, just sort of launder their disinformation and propaganda through that event and alter the recording of history of that. And that's what concerns me, because that was one of the most terrible days in American history, bar none. The fact that the president was behind it all, the president ordered his militias, his fanboy army to go to the Capitol to murder the vice president, to murder members of Congress. And already, even with the facts as we know them, it still kind of resonates with a lot of people as, oh, well, yeah, that happened. But without the seriousness that I think we should be taking it, and the impact that that should have had on how we perceive Republicans by and large. So my concern is that a Republican House will continue to whittle away at that until it's ground down to nothing, sort of an old man in the sea kind of situation. And that's the one thing that I worry about the most with a Kevin McCarthy House of Representatives. So I don't know.
But I mean, you're not being preemptively like, you know, oh my God, you're like freaking out about it. You're being rightfully concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've proven in the past when we're not creative enough to think about the kinds of things that Republicans will do is when we lose.
Yeah.
Like, you know, throw aside your morality, throw aside like your sort of belief in what normal people who have any shame would do, you know, and that kind of thing, and you'll get to where they're going to go. I mean, all you have to do is look at what they did with Benghazi, you know, which was incredibly offensive in a democracy, you know, on many levels, on using that to try to target a political opponent, which Kevin McCarthy admitted out loud later on, not that we needed him to, but he did. But on top of that, the sort of part of it where like there was an actual security breach, there were mistakes made, Americans died, including a diplomat. What should have happened is we should have wanted to get to the answers there and actually figure out how to prevent that from happening again. But we couldn't, because they politicized the whole damn thing. They were not interested in the truth. They were interested in destroying people politically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that the January 6th thing, obviously, is all going to be about undoing, you know, as you said, because they try to come up with their alternative reality of what really happened, as they do with all of these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, that it was Antifa, it was Black Lives Matter, what, you know, who the hell knows? Democrats, if they play it right, and that's always a big question, will do one of two things. They will either not participate, and even give it the respectability of being there. And Republicans did that on a number of things we did where they just didn't show up.
Yeah.
The second would be to go in there, but you better get ready to like, you better be wear your big boy or big girl pants in there. none of this bullshit where you ask nice, respectful questions. I want, you know, every once in a while when one of those clips goes viral because somebody just rips the shit out of the other people on their committee there. That's what it needs to be. It needs to be constant warfare. and challenging their every narrative, going after them, making them gavel the damn thing 15 times to shut you up the same way we had to shut Jim Jordan up. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's no in between. Either you need to go in with that kind of fighting attitude or don't go.
I mean, that's how I feel about Trump in 24, this presidential race that he just started last night, which is that it's great to be optimistic, and I'm quite optimistic about his impact on the Republican Party and the fact that there's a really significant chance that he's going to lose. And as he loses, he's going to drag the party down like the suction after the Titanic went down below the water and pulled people down with it. But I mean, we still have to take him seriously to an extent insofar as, you know, I mean, this is going to be a 2-year fight against Trump, or hopefully a lot less than 2 years, because I mean, it could all crash and burn the first time he loses a primary and then goes to war against the Republican Party. There's lots of areas where he could end up, you know, walking into his own propeller, as I've been saying. But
he is very fond of doing that. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, on the upside, you know, there's a new Daily Beast piece out today about how Trump has completely exhausted his donors with his slush fund. So I don't know if he's going to be able to get his hands on the cash the way he did last time around. I just don't think there's the money for it. But I mean, this is all to say, yeah, we have to proceed about the Trump 2024 campaign as though the existential threat still exists.
Yes. What I like about it is if we, you know, again, we have to not screw it up, and we're really good at screwing stuff up.
Yeah.
but we have to push as much as possible the buttons, let's say, that set off DeSantis and Trump. Because again, DeSantis may not be Trump, but DeSantis has a temper too. Mm-hmm. And we need to get those two like in a Godzilla like versus King Kong kind of thing, and then, you know, sell tickets and enjoy and maybe roast some marshmallows and watch it all. But no, I mean, we really do. I mean, because they will destroy each other.
All right, one more break. Back with more Cliff right after this.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have, or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska, plays more music. Do you think the Democratic Party has the balls to do another Operation Chaos, but with Trump? You know how the Democratic Party famously supported MAGA candidates, sort of these QAnon weirdos going into the 2022 primaries so that they could create this contrast between normal Democrats and these insane people on the Republican side. Do you think they have the balls to do that with Trump? Like, let's work to make Trump the nominee because we know the contrast is going to ruin the Republicans. Do you think that's going to happen?
I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't because again,
I wouldn't either.
He's unique in that he will cheat in any way possible. Mm. And he will, I mean, what lengths he's willing to go to. We do have to think about who gets hurt in that process. But I would do my best to you know, well, I don't know, you know, maybe a Facebook page gets set up here or there attacking Trump and calling him all sorts of names. And maybe the rumors are it came from DeSantis. You know, like I would see that. I mean, I would push that fight, you know, like you are, it's just, you're Lex Luthor and it's Batman versus Superman. And right. You are, you know, you're pushing every little button about Martha did this and, you know, and that, and I, cause I know you're a fan of these movies too and saw it.
Yep.
And like, you want to push every little button on each side, every little insecurity, every little whatever to get these two people to go to war with each other, which I think is almost inevitable. And it's going to be even worse. Again, they're both in Florida.
Yeah.
Which is the best of all worlds because nobody goes to a private club, you know, in their Republican circles there, does something and the other one doesn't find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're in each other's faces constantly, which means they're going to hate each other that much more.
Right. Right.
You know, and if we don't play that up again, you know, I've said things like this before, it's malpractice. And then we end up committing that malpractice. Let's hope we don't, because that can be played to maximum effect here, where those two can be set off at each other. Again, DeSantis isn't Trump. He's not the guy who picks a fight with people because like somebody says something great about somebody near him. He doesn't then go and have to automatically insult them because he feels like it lessens him, but he does have a bad temper. And if you attack him first, he seems to be very much in the way of, if once you've criticized him, there's nothing he won't do to come back after you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Trump perceives attacks in just that you exist. Right. That you win an election bigger than he did. That pisses him off.
Yeah.
And things like that. And he's a crazy person. And then we'll tweet it out. DeSantis won't do that. But DeSantis will go after people hardcore with his little PR unit and all that, who he thinks have outwardly attacked him. And Trump is going to outwardly attack him. I mean, like he has already.
Right, right.
And DeSantis already did respond, not, you know, as overtly as I expected, but in a way where he pointed out that he was the bigger winner on Tuesday, and that will only set Trump off further, and it just becomes a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. You don't need DeSantis to get brutally nasty with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You just need him to respond enough that his ego and his sort of need to avenge are enough that he says things like that. Like, we won the biggest victory in Florida ever on Tuesday, which was clearly a response to Trump.
Yeah.
And Trump, and boom, it will go back and forth.
Yeah,
Trump will start calling his wife ugly and start attacking his family because that's what Trump does. And there's, you know, DeSantis is going to respond to that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he already started down that road with Ron DeSantimonious or whatever he was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
with calling him an ingrate who wouldn't appreciate that he would have, you know, he was going to lose if Trump hadn't. Didn't Trump like didn't he implicated himself in another crime, which I don't think actually happened. So I just think it was him lying and puffing out his chest. But, you know, when Gillum was gaining votes that, you know, we sent in the FBI. But that's the point, is like, that's it. Trump can't take it if DeSantis sort of takes credit for everything on his own.
Yeah.
And that will lead Trump to attack him and then, you know, back and forth. So it's the easiest fight to egg on in the world. It doesn't take much.
Well, Cliff,
before
I let you go, I want to ask you about how you think Elon Musk is handling Twitter. Are you enjoying watching Elon Musk driving Twitter off a cliff like Toons is the cat? I mean, it seems like that's what he's trying to do. It's almost like a producer's kind of situation where he's doing it intentionally. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
I'm sitting there imagining him because he's about as self-aware as Toons is the cat. So it's sort of a perfect comparison. That's the thing. It's like, the thing is Twitter was always far from perfect and had a lot of issues. I did find something that I would call a sense of community there and some good folks like you and other people and had very much enjoyed it. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, at this point, I mean, what he's done in just a couple weeks, like all these folks, I mean, it's sort of interesting to see how, you know, Jack, the former dude at Twitter, tries to defend it and whatever, because you could tell he realizes he fucked up by, you know, I think with Elon, I mean, again, like, I don't think I mean, it's amazing, right? They created this Tony Stark-like character that he never was. Clearly, some of these folks in the media, just reminding you, as I say all the time, how awful our media is. Clearly, some of these folks in the media must have been, you know, must have experienced some of these moments behind closed doors when he said and did things like this and acted like this. He just didn't have the Twitter account and the other stuff where he did it publicly. You know, he hadn't gone crazy in public yet. And yet they kept selling this image of this guy, of this brilliant businessman and this and that and whatever, even though he'd been helped by government subsidies. And really the way he did well, and this happens in society, is that he broke through walls others would have been scared to. He took he took chances that other people wouldn't have, because their good sense would have said, don't do it. And it worked out for him while he did, while his crazy wasn't out there, the electric cars and getting all those government subsidies and debt and this and that. But like this Twitter thing, I mean, what he's proven is he's just a geekier form of Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's managed Twitter the way Trump managed our country, or Trump managed his businesses. He can't shut the fuck up. And that's what I've seen people go like, well, when, you know, just wait if, you know, when he stops doing that stuff. And I'm like, you sound like the people that said when Trump starts acting presidential, it can't happen. What you don't get is people's personalities, when they've got personality disorders, they can't just change.
Yeah.
This is who he is. This is how he relates to people. He's sexually harassed God knows how many women. He's fired employees in the past in the nastiest of ways. He is, you know, he's a narcissist. He has no like feeling for other human beings, no empathy. No, he doesn't know how to interact with humans.
Yeah.
Which is why he's surrounded himself by fucking robots. You know, so I mean, we've seen this. He's now fired people publicly on Twitter for criticizing him. He's busy having conversations with somebody called Cat Turd on fucking Twitter about policy. You know what I mean? This is the richest person in the world. He is going to come crashing down in as spectacular fashion as Trump will. I mean, advertisers are already running away. Users are going to run away eventually. You know, some already have. I mean, as the place gets worse and worse, people will give up on it. And not just because it's like, oh, I don't want to be there because there's more Nazis on the platform, but it loses its utility. Mm-hmm. When people who you connect with there are gone, you know, who are people that you enjoyed reading what they had to say, you learned from, are no longer there, there is a point where it's no longer worth being there.
Right.
Now, for me, I'll say quickly, because this was part of your question, I'm staying because, as I said earlier, I'm roasting marshmallows and just watching the whole damn thing with my feet up. Like, I'm watching another mediocre, not even mediocre, just shitty, you know, incel, inbred white asshole, you know, who everybody like crowed about like they were some genius because the press needs heroes. And he had Donald Trump as the behemoth, you know, as who's bestriding his way in New York as this big real estate guy when he was this little fucking chump who daddy gave $400 million to and couldn't do a damn thing right. And that's what this guy is too. This guy is just another chump who was built up, and he's self-destructing every day more on Twitter. God, I'm there for it, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it all the way down. I mean, unless I still rip into him, and I'm not going to stop criticizing him. So there is a chance along the way I'll get banned at some point. He'll kick me off or something. But if I'm gone, you'll know it's because of that. Because I'm not leaving until one day we wake up and you can't turn it on anymore. You know, like, because it's gone, because he's in debt, you know, and he suddenly like run away to live in Saudi Arabia or something. And the Tesla shareholders literally are like looking for him with pitchforks because he's destroyed that, which is going to be the outgrowth of this, that other companies now. I mean, you know, the right wingers at this point till today, they're so in bed with fossil fuels, they still make fun of electric cars. They're like, electric cars are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So his audience is his base. The people that would buy his cars in the United States, but Western Europe, Canada, are us.
Yeah.
And he's offended all of us. We're not going to him. There's Rivians out there, and different companies are making their own electric cars. Like, if you're going to buy an electric car, it went overnight from being a status symbol to a stigma because of him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the only way he gets propped up is if, you know, Saudi royals and the Chinese government and people start buying all these cars up. And that may happen. Mm-hmm. But then he never achieved what he claimed. You know, he was going to be this guy who was going to change the world, and we're all going to use his cars. Instead, there's just going to be a bunch of autocrats driving them around.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's his only, because that's going to be his only chance of not going bankrupt. And so I'm going to, in case, long story short, I'm going to watch the whole damn thing all the way down and enjoy as this guy just, you know, I mean, because he's taken something that I actually liked and destroyed it. So I'm going to be there to watch him self-destruct.
Have you tried Mastodon and Countersocial, those other platforms? As complicated as
Counter Social, my issue is I'm concerned about, you know, former Russian hacker or whoever just started it. That doesn't feel like a good, and I don't know the whole story, so I don't want to, people should look this all up for themselves, because I don't know, but I started an account, I've done nothing there. Mastodon, my problem is, like, it's just impossible to use. Like, I and I'm not saying I haven't, I've used it a few times, but like, you know, it's something where I don't know. I'm on one server. Somebody's on other servers. Are they seeing what I'm doing?
I have no idea.
How do I see what they're doing? I mean, you know, like, if a social media platform for me takes, like, if I have to think about it and take time to figure it out, you're going to lose me.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to, like, interact with people and have fun and make, you know, yes, some snide comments that I probably shouldn't, but, you know, that and to talk to people and share some stuff I'm doing. And like, if I'm having a hard time figuring out how to do that, and that's what the Mastodon experience has been for me. I mean, I think it's good people. I'm not trying to criticize them. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope it gets better, but as of right now, like, you know, I've really had mostly abandoned Facebook, but at this point Zuckerberg is the much less evil villain, which is scary in and of itself. And so if there's no other options and Twitter comes crashing down, I'm probably, you know, I never had started a business page on Facebook, which I kept meaning to do, and I'll probably transfer over a way too large personal account with a lot of people that knew who I was from work stuff I do to being a business account, you know, and restart a new personal one with about 1,000 friends or so who want to see, you know, pictures of my kids and my cats and, you know, what concerts I go to and things like that. And then I'll start a business page and transfer other folks over there and try to grow that as something where I can just post whatever the hell I want 20 times a day. But that's it, you know, unless something new comes along, because, you know, and I'm not saying I won't give up on Mastodon, but so far it hasn't gotten anywhere to where I enjoy using it. It is not an enjoyable user experience, let's just say.
What are posts called on Mastodon? What do they call those things? Toots?
Toots, yes. Why? I mean, I guess they could have made it worse and named them sharts, but, you know.
I mean, that's what I always thought toot was slang for fart. Slang for another slang.
Well,
word.
It is. Yeah. I mean, like, we've used, you know, my family, we use that. I mean, I don't, there's some things I don't get, and I don't like to be overly judgy. I've made stupid, you know, PR branding, whatever mistakes, nothing's perfect in life, but that one seemed to be kind of obvious, and I don't get it. I do wish them luck. They seem like good people, you know, but, we'll figure this all out somewhere.
Sure. Well, how's the YouTube channel going so far?
That is going great. And damn it, you all should subscribe, because you listening, you fans of Bob Seska could be the ones to put me over 10,000. Over 10,000. The YouTube algorithm likes me better. Like, I get all, you know, all this other stuff. I'm at 9,170 something at this point. So I'm only 800 and some change away. And, you know, in 5 months, not bad. So YouTube.com/C Schechter, Schecter. You know, one or two videos a day. And it's going well. I mean, it's growing and they're starting to do well. And I may start using that more as a platform, because you have a community page there where you can actually, like, post, you know, posts that don't even have to be videos, and people can respond. And I've been meaning to start trying that out more. I may start, you know, as Twitter dies, use that as something where I can interact with folks too. So please come by and subscribe. I would love to have you there, folks.
I have a link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Make sure to click that and subscribe. Run, don't walk to Cliff Schechter's YouTube page. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much. And by the way, I said YouTube page, I meant YouTube channel. You got to get the nomenclature right. I'm such an old man.
You know. damn us Gen Xers.
I know. Right? I know.
The big 5-0 or that area. Who knew that could happen to us?
All right, my friend. Great talk. It was nice catching up with you again and looking forward to next time.
All right. It's always my pleasure to be on your show, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
You too, bud. Bye. People are talking and talking about people. I hear them whisper. You won't believe it. Lovers kept undercover. I just ignore it, but they keep saying we laugh just a little too loud, stand just a little too close. We stared just a little too long. Yeah, maybe they're seeing something that we don't know. Let's give them something. So nervous, could you be falling for me? It took a rumor to make me wonder. Now I'm convinced I'm going under, thinking about you every day.